amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Throughout the Midwest, rivers and creeks are rising after a series of storms.
Basically, you'll just be a mess. When the water gets in there and mud and so forth, cleanup's going to be the biggest problem.
In Parkville, Missouri, store owner John Kuhn says most of his neighbors have left.
Talk to people that whose homes have been flooded, not necessarily from the Missouri River, but because of all the rains we have. A lot of people's homes are being flooded because of the saturated soil. There's just no place for it to go.
In Greensburg, Kansas, the site of last weekend's massive tornado, the death toll was raised today to 10, and there was a tribute to the victims, as Drew Levinson reports.
Late this morning, members of the post office, as well as members of the military, raised a flag over what used to be the Greensburg Post Office. Very reminiscent of Iwo Jima, very reminiscent of what we saw at Ground Zero on 9/11. It was a moving tribute to the people of this town and to the effort of rebuilding and saying, this will not get the better of us. We will come back.
95% of that town was destroyed. Authorities announced today 6 foreign-born Muslim men have been charged with plotting an attack on U.S. military installations like Fort Dix in New Jersey. The men, all in their 20s, are believed to be Islamic extremists.
These people were ready for martyrdom. They spoke about martyrdom extensively in the tapes. They said they were to do this in the service of Allah.
U.S. Attorney Christopher Christie, Mike DiNardo of KYW, has reaction.
A threat to kill as many soldiers as possible hits home in the area around Fort Dix.
I was happy that it was foiled. You know, also shocked that there was a terrorist threat out there against us.
But this woman, whose husband works for a contractor on the base, says she suspected that terrorists would find a way to gain access to the base.
I even told my husband, I said, you know what? You watch, Fort Dix is going to be one of the targets.
In a statement, Fort Dix officials say training goes on, but security has been beefed up with extra vehicle searches and ID checks of everyone who wants to enter. Mike DiNardo, CBS News, Wrightstown, New Jersey.
35,000 soldiers have been notified they may be needed for deployment to Iraq in the fall. Congressional Democrats, meanwhile, are reviewing a proposal that would pay for the war, but only through July. With White House reaction, here's CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
Calling it bad management, the White House rejects the Democratic idea of funding the war in Iraq a couple months at a time.
It's enormously expensive to move forces around. So it means that not only would you delay deployments in some cases, you also may have to prolong tours at the same time.
Spokesman Tony Snow didn't threaten a veto, but called the idea a start-and-stop measure that would deny U.S. commanders and troops the kind of predictability he says they need to plan effectively. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
On Wall Street today, the Dow finished off 4 points. The Nasdaq was up less than one. This is CBS News.
They were a family in search of opportunity when they went west on the Oregon Trail in 1843. They were threatened by lightning, wind, and river crossings. They were overjoyed upon reaching Oregon and building their new home. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
Hello, America. It's time to play Take On Orbit, the travel game where you could save $75 when you customize your next trip to Vegas. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbitz.com right now and customize your Vegas jackpot vacation. Book the exact hotel and flight you want together and save $75. So book your trip on Orbitz.com and head to Vegas already a winner.
Save $75 on 4-plus nights on qualifying hotel plus flight packages. Valid for travel 430 through 83107. Book by 6307. Subject to availability. See Orbitz.com for terms and conditions.
There's been so much enthusiasm over the use of heart stents that doctors may be using them inappropriately. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that story.
Two studies in the Journal of the American Medical Association show surgeons aren't hesitating to invent ways to use artery-opening stents.
Half the time, the drug-eluting stents are used in off-label or untested indications, meaning in situations where they were not originally approved for.
Northwestern researcher Nirad Bailhar believes overall these procedures are safe, but his study and the other show complication rates are much higher than for approved uses. A journal editorial urges surgeons to be more cautious. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The maker of the powerful painkiller OxyContin has agreed to pay 26 states nearly $20 million over the way it promoted the drug. The states complained the company encouraged it to be taken every 8 hours versus the 12 hours approved by the FDA and rewarded sales reps for how many times it was prescribed. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
When you have a family, it's always a good time to buy.
It's a great move-up market.
The interest rates are low.
It didn't make sense for us to spend the same amount of money renting something when we could own it.
Working with a realtor took all the guesswork out.
This is the best market in years in terms of choice.
Interest rates are at historic lows. Home choices have increased, and prices are favorable. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
If we didn't buy now, we would have missed the opportunity on this home.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Yo, so what'll it be?
A dozen pork chops, a couple of those strip steaks, 2 pounds of kielbasa, and a half ton of peace of mind.
That's it?
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report. And it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I like some pride of ownership, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details or visit FordCPO.com.
Peter B. Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
What do you say, let's do it, Tone? Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we originate on the left coast of these United States. Got a lot to talk about per usual today. Coming up later this hour, Dar Jamail, fresh back from Syria and Lebanon. In Lebanon, he scored an interview with Prime Minister Senyora, and we'll get some comments from Dar on the refugees from Iraq who are piling up in adjacent nations. And the situation in Lebanon, where rebuilding appears to be cementing the strength of Hezbollah. Also on today's program, David Bacon, an immigrant activist, and he's a photojournalist. His latest book is called Communities Without Borders. He'll be joining us to talk about last week's May 1st police riot as immigrants and supporters marched in Los Angeles. Yeah, it was MacArthur Park and there was no cake. Melting in the rain, and that's a reference lost on anybody under 50, I guess. Sorry. Jason Leopold will be with us, the intrepid investigative reporter from truthout.org. He's got more information from the George Tenet book that was released about 2 weeks ago, and some other stuff we'll talk about, too. And our free speech zone is wide open for your phone calls today. I'm going to take to task the Blue Dog Democrat who says we can fix the Star Wars initiative with just another $9 or $10 billion. Sorry. The sooner that is scrapped and converted into a Lionel train set, the better off we'll all be. And we understand that there is a secret poll underway in Speaker Pelosi's office regarding the I word, impeachment. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on, too. It's all ahead. Your phone calls are welcome now or in the free speech zone or at any time the urge strikes you to use your First Amendment right. You can call me toll-free, and I actually write the check to pay for your call. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Cleared out the emails that piled up over the weekend, so you can drop me a note at your leisure, Peter, at peterbcollins.com, or humblehost at peterbcollins.com. Either one of those will reach me. Returning to our program today, he writes for The Nation, Ari Berman, and you can read the article we're about to discuss online at thenation.com, and it will be the cover story in the next edition of The Nation magazine, the hardcover print edition. Ari, welcome back to our program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Nice to talk with you again. This is a powerful piece. I just got finished reading it. And you offer some interesting ideas about the team that has surfaced to promote the presidential ambitions of Hillary Rodham Clinton. And, oh, are they corporate and centrist?
Well, yeah, I mean, the piece is really about Hillary's chief strategist and pollster, Mark Penn.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a household name, I write in the piece, but he should be, because essentially he's guiding things in Hillary land, and he's the driving force behind not only her moving to the center, but in a lot of ways sort of appeasing corporate interests in our country. And that might be because Penn himself has quite a few corporate interests. Not only does he poll for a lot of America's largest companies, you know, that includes everything, you know, from tobacco to pharmaceutical companies to energy companies, but he also runs one of the world's largest PR companies, Burson Marsteller.
Yeah.
It's a very Republican firm, and it's really unprecedented that a pollster of Penn's prominence inside a campaign would be running such a huge PR firm, and we can talk in a second about what that entails.
Yeah. Now, Bill and Hillary have been stalwarts of the DLC, the Centrist Corporate Democratic Leadership Council, since the Arkansas days, and they rode that bus into Washington. And Mark Penn and his partner Doug Schoen were not a part of the Clinton team in 1992.
No, I mean, they were, well, you have to remember, Clinton, while he was head of the DLC, you know, in 91, also ran as a fair populist, you know, talked about putting people first, for example. And then when he got in the White House, he sort of abandoned that tune. So there was always a sort of populist side to Clinton. By the time Dick Morris got a hold of him in 95 for his reelection campaign in 96, Morris hired Mark Penn, and they basically together pushed Clinton to the center. They were the ones who coined the strategy of triangulation. They were the ones who said sign welfare reform. They were the ones who said campaign on school uniform and V-chips. They were the ones who said don't talk about CEO pay, don't talk about economic inequality, don't talk about class warfare. And basically that's been the theme of the Democratic Party pretty much, you know, ever since the Clintons were in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, only recently, I would argue, has that grip sort of unfolded.
And, the lesson that they drew from Hillary's ambitious failed health care overhaul in 92 to 94 was don't try anything big
or dramatic.
And don't
align yourself with the party's liberal wing.
And so we got all of these bite-sized issues for the soccer moms and the office park dads and the NASCAR dads. And some of those characterizations actually come from the pollsters, right?
Well, that all comes from Penn. I mean, wired workers, office park dads, soccer moms, that's vintage Mark Penn. I mean, that's how he sees the American electorate. And the problem with that, and I'll have more on his political work, you know, in the coming issue of The Nation, but really the problem with that is it leaves no room for big issues to be discussed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically you take everything off the table. And by saying, you know, don't talk about any sort of economic inequality, you know, don't talk about these sort of problems. You're basically saying don't talk like a Democrat, because this is what the Democratic Party stands for fundamentally. And this is why people become Democrats, is because, you know, they care, you know, for the working class, where Republicans care for the rich. I mean, it's sort of the oldest line in the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I discuss in the article is that, you know, Penn is aligned not only with Republican operatives, but his firm, Burson Marsteller, is actively engaged in union busting. Which is something that, you know, no Democrat seems to be for that.
Well, but you talked to Howard Wolfson, and he said, sorry, you know, what Mark Penn does the rest of the time is his business, as if there's some firewall that prevents his interest and his coziness with his corporate clients from oozing over into the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny because the consulting business is pretty much an unregulated business. I mean, there's no standard procedure here. I mean, George Bush forced Karl Rove, of all people, to sell his direct mail business in 1999 because he wanted, you know, full loyalty from Rove. He didn't want him to be working on other corporate or political clients. You know, Hillary, for whatever reason, has not demanded, you know, a similar amount of loyalty from her people. And maybe they just thought this wouldn't be a big deal because, you know, Penn has been around ever since, you know, the 90s, and this is how things were done in the 90s, and there was no problem with rich donors sleeping in the Lincoln bedroom, and there was no problem with corporate America ever sitting on the table, and there was no problem with all of this sort of behavior. But I think in 2008 it's going to be harder to make that claim. I mean, voters are pretty sick of corruption. They're pretty tired of the influence of corporate America. And at some point, you know, Hillary herself is going to have to be held accountable for the actions of those around her.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ari Berman, who writes for The Nation. The article that we're discussing is Spinning Hillary Centrist. It will be the cover story of the next hardcover edition. And in the meantime, you can read it online. I think it's an edited version at thenation.com. Now, Ari, this is a fascinating look, and there's much more. We've just kind of scratched the surface here. Let's talk a little bit about how Mark Penn ended up as the head of Burson Marsteller, which, as you point out, is one of the two top PR firms that often employs former office holders of each of the parties. Hill & Knowlton is the other big shop in Washington.
Well, the funny thing is that Hill & Knowlton's under the same rubric as Burson Marsteller these days, because there's been an unbelievable amount of consolidation in the PR industry, and WPP Group, which is a huge British company, owns Hill & Knowlton and Burson Marsteller and just a huge swath of other companies.
How convenient. How convenient.
Yeah, exactly. So basically what happened here, and to even make it more complicated, Howard Pastor, who was basically Clinton's chief lobbyist, was sort of the head of Hill & Knowlton for a while. He was the head of Hill & Knowlton for 15 years, and he was one of the people who hired Penn. But basically what happened is, you know, Penn, when he had worked in the corporate world for a long time, you know, worked for different clients, Texaco, Microsoft was always his largest client, and he kept doing the corporate work even when he was working for Clinton, which was always sort of an odd arrangement because, for example, he was working for Microsoft when they were the subject of the largest antitrust suit in the country. So that in itself posed enormous conflict of interest.
And just right if there. I can interject, it's fascinating to me. Microsoft is now asking the Justice Department to investigate Google for its purchase of DoubleClick. And I just find that rich with irony. And what is it, 10 years that separates us from the antitrust investigation of Microsoft, and now they feel dwarfed by Google, and they need a little government help. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is amazing. But just back to the Penn thing real quick. So basically, Penn expanded his polling firm to the point where he was offering counsel to basically many, many top business leaders. And so it wasn't that much of a stretch, honestly, to go from the polling firm got bought by WPP Group. It wasn't that much of a stretch after he'd been doing that for a while to go head this PR agency, because right now so much of PR involves sort of poll testing, involves counseling people of strategy, involves dealing with the Internet, which Penn had dealt with. So they thought that his skills, you know, were relevant to what they were doing, to how PR was changing. And quite honestly, and they won't necessarily say this, but they wanted someone of stature in Washington, you know, who had the ear of Hillary Clinton and, you know, who could get pretty much, you know, Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, and anyone else on the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
not a small cachet in this world.
Well, and when you look at it, the dollars that they expend on pollsters, PR people, and powerful lobbying firms like Patton, Boggs, and Blow, these are modest investments for companies that reap billion-dollar quarterly returns.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it is a huge, it is big business, and even politics now has become that way. I mean, Hillary paid Penn $1 million for his work in 06.
That's just for a Senate campaign?
Yeah, that's an astronomical amount of money for a pollster in politics to make. And she paid him $277,000 in the first quarter of this year. So she's basically paying him business wages to work on politics. And, you know, the funny thing is a lot of pollsters say, you know, that they have to do some corporate work. Most Democratic consultants will say, we have to do some corporate work to help pay the bills. Not all, but most.
Yeah, we have to keep the phone lines lit during in between elections. We got to take a break, Ari. We'll pick up there as we continue. Ari Berman, read his piece, Spinning Hillary Centrist, at thenation.com. Got a question or a comment? Call us now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, The most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Carmel's Community Bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Ari Berman, who writes for The Nation. We're discussing a powerful piece he's written about Hillary Clinton and her circle of advisors, including pollster Mark Penn. It's available online at thenation.com today and will be the cover story in a forthcoming edition of the magazine. Ari, one of the things that I was looking for in the article but didn't find, and maybe because this is an edited version online, is the involvement of Penn, Schoen, and Berland, the firm, in elections in Central and South America.
That's in the next version.
Okay, great. Because I find this very...
Now, at least.
Okay.
We're not done with it yet.
Subject to brutal editors, I'm sure. But Doug Schoen has published a book called The Power of the Vote.
Yeah.
Subtitled Electing Presidents, Overthrowing Dictators, and Promoting Democracy Around the World. Now, that's a pretty powerful spin subtitle. We'll give him credit for that. But they were deeply involved in the effort to throw Hugo Chavez out and replace him with a military-backed strongman. Then there was a recall election where they participated. And then last year in the reelection campaign that Chavez won, they represented his opponent. And what's fascinating in here is that Doug Schoen talks about the exit polls that they conducted there and basically says that, you know, Chavez used electronic voting machines to rig the election.
Yeah.
And I find this breathtaking because we have seen the Bush administration use the exit polls in the Ukraine to call for the overturning of that election. And, of course, those like Penn and Schoen felt that it was critical in proving that Chavez stole the election in Venezuela. But we're never allowed to use those exit polls to prove, for example, Ohio, 2004, was the scene of a crime.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've obviously done your homework on this one. The interesting thing is that basically Penn didn't go down there, but Schoen did go down there. And what they did is they did this exit poll, but the exit poll was undertaken, the field work for the exit poll was undertaken by the opposition group that was trying to defeat Chavez. So right there, I mean, that's just a huge no-no. I mean, you just can never trust the credibility, you know, of something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they showed it, they released it early before the polling had closed, and it, which was also sort of a dubious move considering that it was Venezuela. And they said, you know, Chavez is going to lose by 20 points. Well, actually, when all the ballots are counted, Chavez won by 20 points, you know, the exact opposite of what they said was going to happen. You know, and Jimmy Carter said it was free and fair. The Organization of American States said it was free and fair. So unless Chavez had totally hoodwinked everyone, which, I mean, I guess is certainly possible, you know, Schoen was wrong, but given all the factors, given the fact that other people independently had confirmed the election results, given the fact that the opposition work was undertaken, you know, by the opposition, and you know, given, you know, their track record on some of this stuff, you know, it's not hard to believe that they were basically paid to do a poll that made the opposition look good when, in fact, they were going
to
lose.
Mm-hmm. There's much more to that story, and I'll look forward to your subsequent articles. I wanted to return to Hillary Clinton and some of her corporate connections. What was your reaction, Ari, in the MSNBC joint appearance when she responded to the question about Walmart?
Yeah.
Of course, ignoring that she served 6 years on the board and was one of the highest paid corporate directors in the country at that time. Just didn't think to mention that. But she did have a pretty well-rehearsed answer mm-hmm. about how, well, you know, Walmart's done some good things, but they've done some bad things, too.
Well, I thought it was actually a good answer because she immediately segued from Walmart to talking about the fact that, and this is why that was interesting, the middle class is invisible. She said corporate elites. And that immediately jumped out to me because, you know, Hillary knows how to talk this talk. I mean, she's very well practiced in speaking to sort of Democratic audiences. But I immediately thought, you know, corporate elites, these are the same people that are essentially running your campaign. And I almost thought about using that answer as the lead to my piece. I didn't end up I'm using a different lead.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was very revealing because there's just an amazing amount of hypocrisy here. I mean, yes, it's true the middle class is invisible to corporate elites, but it's not just because of the Republican Party. It's also because of Democrats like Mark Penn who aid and abet this sort of massive transformation of wealth in our country.
Well, yeah, and the DLC Democrats who have, reaped campaign contributions from corporations that previously were almost exclusively Republican contributors.
Well, and here's an interesting thing. I mean, Mark Penn has been polling for the DLC for a long time, and he always says the same thing, which is, you know, what we've talked about before, that you can't talk about, you know, economic issues in the sort of talking about inequality, that you can't talk about anything that strikes of class warfare, et cetera, et cetera. But basically, the same people that Penn is polling for, Microsoft, AT&T, Eli Lilly, Texaco, are underwriting the DLC. So it's the same orbit here, and the same people keep showing up over and over again. You have to worry, you have to wonder, you know, is Penn doing this because he believes it? And I think he probably does sincerely believe it, but he certainly has a strong economic incentive to say that in his polling and to write questions that reflect this when he polls.
And as you point out in the article, he is a strategist who offers corporations a process called inoculation from, say, attacks from populist Democratic candidates. All right, I'm out of time. time. Thanks for a powerful article in The Nation. We've been talking with Ari Berman.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd, the taxi driver, and I want to know, what gets you hacked off, and what do you do about it? How do you feel when you fill up your gas tank? With prices over $3 a gallon and heading close to $4, I don't know about you, but I get hacked off. Maybe it's the war in Iraq. How do you feel each evening when you sit down for dinner and hear about more death and carnage and making no progress? For me, it's politics. I watch the administration in Washington destroy the Constitution, destroy our civil liberties, and trample all over our rights. But closer to home, the number one thing that gets me hacking mad is going to a city council meeting. So the question is, when you get that feeling, what do you do about it? Me? I come here and I talk to you. Here's an idea that might work for you. It's as simple as taking a walk. Todd the taxi driver, tune in tomorrow and we'll explain to you what we're talking about.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays.
Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays, from 2 to 3, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
He has just returned from a trip that I know includes Syria and Lebanon, perhaps some other countries. Dar, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be here.
You want to react to the Feingold news at all?
Well, I was listening to that. That's the first I've heard of it as well. And it's some good news for a change regarding Iraq. That kind of news with about Iraq is in short supply. So I certainly welcome it and hope that it has some momentum to actually go someplace.
Yeah, well, we'll stay on top of this and see if other details come out over the next few hours. Now, give us your itinerary. We spoke to you in... Where did we talk to you? You were in Lebanon.
Yeah,
about 2 weeks ago, and we were unable to connect with you when you were in Damascus about a week or 10 days before that.
Right. So basically my last trip over there that I just returned home from a few days ago was for a month total, and I spent the first couple of weeks in Damascus cataloging the Iraqi refugee crisis there that is growing every day as we speak here. And then the second 2 weeks, I went over to Lebanon and cataloged much of what I couldn't do over there when I was there about a year ago during the war last summer. Mm-hmm. And I went down to southern Lebanon for about 5 days to areas that were heavily destroyed or damaged during the war. And then covered some political goings-on in Beirut.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk first of all about the reconstruction in the areas that were targeted by Israel in Lebanon last summer during that 34-day war. You described the rebuilding, the reconstruction, in an interesting way, and that essentially Hezbollah is building in its future influence as it helps citizens there reconstruct their homes and businesses.
Without a doubt, and this is going to be a piece I'm working on right now for the Truth Dig website, but essentially it's another way in which Israel has lost last year's war, because one of their stated goals, or two of them actually, had to do with Hezbollah. The first and foremost, of course, was they were demanding the release of the two captured soldiers, which still hasn't happened. But the second two goals were to A, disarm Hezbollah, and B, push them back from the border. And this really has to do primarily with that third goal as far as the reconstruction, because the first people on the scene within hours after the ceasefire was declared were Hezbollah members carrying suitcases full of cash, and they went to each head of the household that had of homes that had been either destroyed or damaged during the war, and they gave them all $12,000 on the spot and said, here's enough money to get you set up to rent someplace for the next year. We're going to help you do reconstruction as well. So immediately out of the gate, Hezbollah showed up and started influencing people by giving immediate aid like cash, water, small generators, this sort of thing. And then until the reconstruction could start happening, they came back and checked on families and made sure they had what they need, sometimes giving people even more money if circumstances dictated it. And then couple that with the fact that we have the U.S.-backed Prime Minister Senora Lebanese government, which has done essentially nothing across the board for people of southern Lebanon to help them rebuild, specifically because they're Shia and this is a U.S.-backed government that wants to try to distance itself from that population, which is now supporting Hezbollah.
And talk a little bit about the stature and status of the Senora government right now. Would you call it stable? Would you say that it's on life support?
Definitely the latter. It is on life support, if that. It's in complete gridlock. This government cannot accomplish anything at this point. There's been a very effective opposition against it, and I'm glad that you bring this up, because when we talk about the opposition to this U.S.-backed government, back here most people think, oh, well, that's just Hezbollah. They've been portrayed in the mainstream media as trying to attempt a coup or something of this nature and be undemocratic, when in reality it's one of the most democratic things I've seen in my life. Probably some folks back here in the anti-war movement could take notes of what's happening over there, because we have a government that's basically controlled and governed by elitists with foreign support. We have people like Prime Minister Senyora and the likes of Saad Hariri, the son of assassinated Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, who's one of the richest men in the world, according to Forbes, as of last year. And these are the types of people that are in power in the government, and who doesn't have any representation are the middle and lower classes throughout the country. So we have an opposition movement that's almost 50% Maronite Christian. Two of the largest opposition leaders are Maronite Christians themselves, and then the rest of the opposition are Shia, the brunt of that being Hezbollah, and then the rest of it being filled out by the Amal group. But together they have joined forces, a very large segment, the majority segment of the Christian population in Lebanon, along with the brunt of the Shia population, and they're opposed to this government. They have an ongoing sit-in around the government buildings in downtown Beirut, and they're simply demanding free and fair elections so they can have adequate representation and therefore a voice in the government.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dar Jamil, you scored some interviews with Emil Lahoud and also General Michel Aoun. Describe for our listeners who aren't familiar with the complicated different groups in Lebanon who Lahoud and Aoun are and how they relate to this troubled Senyora government.
Well, just very briefly, because as you're well aware, we could talk about this for hours, but both men, both General Michel Aoun, and he's called the general because, of course, he's a former general in the Lebanese army, both he and the current president, Emil Lahoud, are former military men, and that's really where they made a name for themselves, specifically during the brutal Lebanese civil war from 1975 to 1990. And both of these men fought in that war, but they differ in that General Michel Aoun, actually was more involved with Christian side during that war, whereas Emil Lahoud prided himself as being in the military and trying to keep it nationalist-based rather than kind of fragmenting off into various militias. But what's really interesting now is that both men, being Maronite Christians, one, the current president, Emil Lahoud, and then General Aoun has essentially positioned himself by making alliances with Hezbollah and the other Shia group, Amal, where if there are new elections and if they're fair, then he is most likely going to be the next president of Lebanon. And what he and the current president, Emil Lahoud, have in common, aside from both, of course, being Maronite Christians, is they are both with the opposition. And it's interesting for Emil Lahoud to be with the opposition, since he is actually technically the second most powerful person in the Lebanese government right now. But he is one of the reasons why the government is in gridlock, because he's with the opposition. He is using his position to thwart the attempts of Senyora to push through further U.S. policy in the Lebanese government, which, again, it's going to benefit the rich people in the government and at the expense of the majority of the population of the country.
Well, and I think this is a perception I have, and tell me if it's accurate. I read this fascinating piece that Charlie Glass published in Harper's Magazine a couple of months ago about Walid Jumblatt, who is a Druze leader. And the impressions I came away with is that all the leaders in Lebanon are very wealthy, elitists often who were educated outside the country. And it's hard to imagine that their interests match up with the average Lebanese citizen.
Well, that's spot on, actually, and that is really the root of the exact problem. I interviewed another man there who is a former Minister of Information of Lebanon for 5 years over two different time periods. His name is Michel Samaha, And he told me that in his perspective, and again, it's important to note, he's a Maronite Christian, and the only reason I keep putting that out there is because, you know, so many people here think that the opposition to the government is only Hezbollah or they're only Shia. And the reality is that almost 50% of this opposition, not only are they Christian, but they're Maronite Christians. And that's a very important fact when we're talking about the political situation in Lebanon. But Mr. Samaha said that by his analysis, the problem with this government is that these people in power who cannot stay there with foreign support from countries like Saudi Arabia, France, and especially the United States. I would like to draw people's attention to the last article written by Seymour Hersh, The Redirection, where it talked about the U.S. is now literally funding and arming al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups within Lebanon. They're mostly in the north part of that small country, to go after the leadership of the opposition, particularly people like Hassan Nasrallah. But Mr. Samaha told me that he thinks the problem is that this government essentially does not want to share. They do not want to share power, and certainly they do not want to share what meager resources they have in that country. So instead of helping people rebuild in southern Lebanon or in southern Beirut for that matter, nobody knows where this money is going. If you look back just a few months ago in Paris, there was a meeting, it's referred to as the Paris Three, and $7 billion in money and loans were designated for the reconstruction of Lebanon. Where is that money? Where is it going? And again, here's where we can draw so many parallels to what's going on in Iraq. What happened with all this reconstruction money? Why is the country still in a disaster when the money was supposed to be there? Why is it not moving forward? And instead, you look at this government that's not representing the wishes of the people, and that's primarily because they're being influenced by people like those in our own government.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dar Jamail. Visit his website, Dar Jamail Iraq, and I'll spell that for you, DarJamailIraq. DarJamailIraq.com, where you can read his dispatches and all kinds of stuff, good information up there. One more question before we go to a break here, Dar. Has the posture of the Lebanese army changed at all? Because I recall last summer, Israel kept urging the Senora government to gain control of the country and suppress Hezbollah using the Lebanese army, and that, of course, was a non-starter.
No, you're exactly right, and that really hasn't changed. The army is essentially a reflection of the government at this point. It's a very, very small force. We're not talking about very many people. The government did also, kind of contradicting what you just outlined by what Israel had called on them to do, the government just recently called off the mandatory one-year service that had been in place since for years and years, if not decades. So that's no longer necessary. So we have a very small, feeble military. They really don't have any kind of sophisticated weapons whatsoever. And they're supposed to be responsible for reining in militias. And if we're going to talk about reining in militias, we can't just talk about Hezbollah. We have to talk about the numerous very right-wing Christian militias that are very heavily armed and well-funded in Lebanon, along with the Druze militia, just to name a few. So compared to those, the Lebanese army is kind of like a small, undermanned, underarmed militia.
We're going to take a break and return with Dar Jamail. If you have a question or a comment, this is the perfect time for it. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we continue, we'll talk about the shakeup in the Israeli government and the three no-confidence votes that Mr. Olmert survived this year. He still is the prime minister in Israel, at least today. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Billy Sunshine Show. Billy Sunshine Show.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
It's not a coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is journalist Dar Jamail, and he has just returned from a month-long trip to the Middle East. He was in Syria and in Lebanon as well. And Dar, before we move on to the situation in Israel, I wanted to ask you about an item here in the article that you posted yesterday. You write, Hezbollah, led by Sheikh Nasrallah, has spearheaded post-war reconstruction in the suburb through its NGO, Jihad al-Binah, spelled A-L-B-I-N-A-A. What is Jihad al-Binah? How is it separate from Hezbollah? And does it have any separate linkage to Iran?
Jihad al-Binah is the reconstruction wing of Hezbollah. Let's be clear that when we say Hezbollah, we mean basically a movement. It has many, many branches. It has this branch in particular is an engineering branch. It's comprised of 1,500 different engineers that the group claims they get all of their money, particularly this reconstruction money, from basically the equivalent in Shia Islam as tithings to the Christian religion here. Mm-hmm. So members basically paying a percentage of their income into the mosque, and then that money is being used to fund them. Although I think it's very safe to say that they're certainly getting money from Iran, who Iran is also directly involved in some of the reconstruction across the south as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Jihad al-Binah is a group of 1,500 engineers that are going around helping do the reconstruction around the south and in South Beirut right now. And another thing just to remind people, the word jihad, the literal translation is to struggle. Just so it basically means to struggle in construction or a construction of struggle. Mm-hmm. is kind of a little literal translation of what that term means.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of us simply think of jihad as a holy war, and, you know, can misinterpret that by hearing that language. So let's move over the border. The defense minister, Amir Peretz of Israel, resigned just a couple of days ago. And this, of course, is after a very negative report on Israel's failures in last summer's war against Lebanon and Hezbollah. And as I mentioned before the break, Ehud Olmert suffered but survived 3 no-confidence votes in the Knesset this week.
Right. It's another sign, at least my read of what's going on in the Israeli government, especially with Olmert, is just more ramifications of the war. And it's important to note when we look at this situation in the Israeli government from here, it's easy to kind of mistranslate how what's actually happening there, because this isn't a critique that, well, the war shouldn't have happened, or it was too costly because it killed so many civilians in Lebanon, or caused so much widespread destruction to the civilian infrastructure of that country. But most of the flack that this government is catching is because they felt that basically the war wasn't just an overpowering success, and that no Israelis were killed or very few, no rockets were successfully fired from southern Lebanon into Israel, killing and wounding people, which there were over 4,000 rockets fired, and a fair number. I think it was around 50 or 60 Israeli civilians killed, with about 130 Israeli soldiers killed. And the critique is coming from a place that people, particularly Olmert's own party, are upset that he didn't do enough, which I think needs to be made very clear, that this isn't basically pressure that there should have been peace measures looked into or things like this, but rather that his government, under his guidance, and particularly his Minister of Defense, failed utterly to accomplish the 3 objectives that they stated at the beginning of the war, which, as I said before, were to get the 2 captured soldiers back, to push Hezbollah back from the border, and to disarm them. And they not only have they not accomplished those, but they've created a situation where the state of Israel now is very destabilized from this. The threat of their military force around the region is now, accurately discounted, because we have about 4,000 or 5,000 people with not very sophisticated weapons whatsoever on the ground, with no air power, who not only fought one of the most powerful militaries in the world to a standstill, but pushed them back out of their country.
Mm-hmm. And, Dar, what do you make of Foreign Minister Zippy Livni? She is a member of Olmert's party, the Kadima Party, but she called for his resignation last week before these no-confidence votes took place. Does that leave her out on a limb? And wasn't she as big a supporter of the war as Olmert and Peretz?
She was. It really does leave her out on a limb, but I think for her, she's thinking longer-term political survival, because Olmert's now in a position, I think we could draw a parallel to Mr. Bush, where he got himself involved by choice in a disastrous war that would have disastrous results on his own country and certainly his own political career. We could, as Mr. Hugo Chavez, President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, ways back, referred to Mr. Bush as a political cadaver. I think we could apply the same terminology to Ehud Olmert, that he may survive this. He may not have to step down, just like Mr. Bush. Looks like he probably will not be impeached. But he's political toxic waste at this point, and anyone with any sensibility wants to distance himself from this person as much as possible. And I think that's exactly what she's doing. She's thinking longer-term survival and just hoping that people in Israel have as short-term memories as the majority of the mm-hmm. mainstream population here, that they'll simply just not remember, as you said, that she was one of the biggest hawks in the war.
Dar, just in 30 seconds, the Sharm el-Sheikh meetings over the weekend, Rice actually did have some words with Syrian officials, and also our ambassador talked to Iran's ambassador. Any meaningful breakthrough there?
I don't think so. I think any dialogue of any kind is always a good sign. I don't think it can be bad, especially between 2 groups that didn't look like they were going to have any, but I certainly wouldn't expect any any major breakthrough. They would require much more discussions.
Gotcha. Dara, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for your work in the Middle East.
Oh, my pleasure, Peter. Thank you.
Read all about it at darjamailiraq.com, D-A-H-R-J-A-M-A-I-L, and you know how to spell Iraq. And if you can't by now, boy, we're in real trouble. David Bacon joins us next to talk about the immigration protests and the police riot in Los Angeles last week.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
An alleged plot to attack a military base.
Today we dodged a bullet.
Flooding in the Midwest.
The same storm system that spawned a rare and devastating F5 tornado went on to dump torrents of rain on the Central Plains.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Jody Weiss, special agent in charge of the FBI's Philadelphia office, says six young Muslim jihadists arrested in New Jersey today were forming a platoon to take on the army.
When you look at the type of weapons that this group was trying to purchase, we may have dodged a lot of bullets.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has details.
Sources say the New Jersey cell has no apparent ties to Al-Qaeda or any larger terrorist organization. Still, the suspects, three of them in the U.S. illegally, had surveilled multiple targets, including Fort Dix in New Jersey, Dover Air Force Base in Delaware, and the Navy Yard in Philadelphia.
They settled on Fort Dix because one of the men had worked as a pizza delivery man in the area and knew the base very well. They allegedly practiced for their assault at a shooting range in Pennsylvania's Pocono Mountains and watched Al-Qaeda videos. Prosecutors say they tripped themselves up when they made a video of themselves firing weapons and shouting jihadist slogans and went to a store to have it made into a DVD. The shopkeeper alerted authorities. U.S. Attorney Christopher Christie says suspect Sirdar Tatar and his associates were deadly serious.
Defendant Tatar was said to be of one mind. The quote was, to figure out how to kill as many American soldiers as possible.
Now this.
If you can't take your business on the road, customers might take their business elsewhere. Office Depot has all the latest technology you need when you're on the go, like a huge selection of notebook computers, wireless printers, networking solutions, and mobile accessories. Don't tie your business down. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by four trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
High water in Parkville, Missouri prompted a mandatory evacuation order today. Store owner John Coons cleaned out the basement and moved stock on the first floor upstairs.
We're told it was going to be higher than what it was thought, so we moved everything a foot up off the floor, and our upper floor is 10 feet above the basement.
CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports the National Weather Service is using new computer models to predict flooding.
One town they're most concerned about right now, Sibley, Missouri, nestled in a bend of the Missouri River. The model predicts the river there will crest at 11 feet above flood stage tomorrow,
and will remain above flood stage until at least Sunday.
The search and rescue effort continues in tornado-ravaged Greensburg, Kansas. CBS News correspondent Drew Levinson is there.
There are still rescue teams from as far away as Washington State and San Diego who are going house by house, building by building, or at least what's left of them, trying to listen closely, using dogs, hoping to find survivors.
Kansas National Guard officials complain about being stretched thin with so much equipment overseas, but White House spokesman Tony Snow says they've talked to Governor Kathleen Sebelius, and she said,
"We've got to get power and water running. I've got what I need. I've got your number. I won't be shy. I will call if I need anything."
President Bush will visit Greensburg tomorrow. There's a big storm off the southeast coast. Wind and waves are pounding the shore at Jupiter, Florida. One lifeguard office was washed away.
Conditions at the beaches along North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, even northern Florida, are a bit dangerous today and will only get more dangerous as the night progresses.
Richard Knapp at the National Hurricane Center. The Coast Guard rescued 9 people from 3 different boats yesterday, and it's still searching for a missing sailboat with 4 people aboard. Now it turns out that some fish farms have inadvertently used feed contaminated with melamine, the same industrial chemical that tainted pet food. But Dr. David Acheson of the FDA says it's a very low concentration.
We do not believe that there is any significant human health risk associated with consuming these fish.
Not even clear whether any of the fish got into the human food supply. China today acknowledged that 2 companies illegally exported wheat gluten and rice protein spiked with melamine in order to boost their apparent protein content. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
They were a family in search of opportunity when they went west on the Oregon Trail in 1843. They were threatened by lightning, wind, and river crossings. They were overjoyed upon reaching Oregon and building their new home. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
Hello, America. It's time to play Take On Orbits, the travel game where you could save $75 when you customize your next trip to Vegas. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbits.com right now and customize your Vegas jackpot vacation. Book the exact hotel and flight you want together and save $75. So book your trip on Orbits.com and head to Vegas already a winner.
Save $75 on 4 plus nights on qualifying hotel plus flight packages. Valid for travel 4/30 through 8/31/07. Book by 6/30/07. Subject to availability. See Orbits.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Jason Leopold joins us later this hour, but first, a look at the demonstrations and police riot that took place 1 week ago today in Los Angeles. It's no fun being a TV cameraman, getting a baton in your face or some of those rubber bullets or projectiles from wayward police officers in the LAPD. David Bacon returns to our program today, photojournalist and a man who's been following the immigrant communities here in California for many years. His most recent book is Communities Without Borders, Images and Voices from the World of Migration. David, how are you today?
Pretty good, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay, fighting a little nasal crud, and I think my voice is starting to go. But
and such beautiful weather, too.
Actually, I feel fine. It's just starting to creep up on me. Anyway, I wanted to ask you for your account of what occurred in MacArthur Park, a section of Los Angeles, last week, because by all accounts, the police and the community organizers of the protest or the march, whatever we want to call it, were on the same page and things were going swimmingly. They even dismissed some police officers early and said, you're not going to be needed. And then it appears some provocateurs, skinheads, I don't know exactly who it was, but some outsiders, threw some plastic bottles at a couple of police officers. And from what I can tell, that was the extent of the provocation, and the cops went wild.
Well, I think the problem was, Peter, that There was a particular unit of police that was out there in MacArthur Park who really, I think, had no business being there. Essentially, the L.A. SWAT team, you know, their crisis response team, they showed up already with helmets, with shields, with guns carrying rubber bullets, kind of loaded for bear, you might say, which was very inappropriate considering what the actual event was. You know, remember, Los Angeles saw two marches a year ago, each of them with a million people in them, in which there was absolutely no violence of any kind whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
There was an earlier march this May Day in downtown Los Angeles, which drew, I think, about 30,000 people, again, without any incidents whatsoever. And then there was this second march and rally, which was, again, a very peaceful affair. So what was this squad really out there doing? Why did they come out there to begin with? I think that's the main unresolved question there, and I think that's also what's led Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa to ask Chief Bratton to demote and replace the police command officers who were responsible for bringing that group of or that section of the police out there. You know, this is a section of the Los Angeles Police Department which has a record of violence, which has a record of kind of hostility to community events, and there really was no reason for them to be there at all. When you look at what at the videos that were shot by bystanders, you can see that there was really no reason for them to wade into the crowd there with batons swinging, you know, shooting these rubber bullets. It's as though they had come prepared for some kind of violent incident and chose, you know, the very, very slimmest kind of pretext for basically announcing that they were going to kind of take action against the people involved. You know, one other thing to remember is that, you know, supposedly, although, you know, they claimed that there was provocation involved here, they never actually arrested anybody.
Mm-hmm.
There was no arrest in here at all. It just really seemed much more like a particular group in the police department with a very hostile view of immigrants and of, you know, demonstrations and political activity.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sort of took their opportunity to sort of wade into people because of that.
Well, your point is well taken there. I'm reading a New York Times account in today's National Edition, and it reads, when officers, in response to a group of agitators who were trying to provoke them with taunts and thrown objects, that's as much as the Times can detail it. Taunts, I think cops should be pretty well inured to. And again, from what I've seen in videotapes and text news accounts, it appears that the projectiles that were thrown were plastic water bottles, not beer bottles or other glass containers that would certainly pack much more of a wallop.
Right. So even if these things were true, in other words, even if police were taunted, even if somebody threw a plastic water bottle at them, that was not a reason for them to kind of engage in this sort of systematic brutality that they engaged in. But I think that there's also reason to doubt these stories about the provocation. I mean, if there was a provocation, why didn't they simply arrest the people who were involved in it?
David Bacon, I'm reminded, this takes me back to the summer of 1968 in Chicago. And Boss Daley, the father of the current five-term mayor, who I think did five terms himself, he famously malapropped, "The police are here to preserve disorder."
Well, that's a pretty good a description of what we saw at MacArthur Park. You know, one thing I think that is important to remember also, Peter, especially for listeners who haven't seen these demonstrations both last year and this year and are kind of, I think in some ways, it's easy to get misled by the descriptions of what happened in MacArthur Park to forget something really important. And that is that, you know, I was at both of the demonstrations, both of the marches in Los Angeles last year. I was at some other ones back east this year. I've talked to people around the country both last year and this year who have been involved in almost all of them. These are not even really demonstrations of political activists. Overwhelmingly, these are marches and demonstrations of ordinary people. You know, you see lots and lots of parents with kids, people, you know, parents with their children in strollers. these are not people who are out there to engage in some kind of confrontation or even to engage in what they would call militant action. These are simply people who are out there in the streets to more or less announce to the world, hey, you know, we're here, you know, we're immigrants in this country. This country belongs to us as much as it belongs to anybody else. We want to make sure that our presence is visible here, and we want the country to change its immigration laws so that we can have an equal status to the rest of the people around us.
Well, I agree, and I would only amend it in this way, and at the risk of engaging in stereotyping or a certain kind of ethnic profiling, I would argue that people attracted to a rally and march of this sort have an even greater desire to avoid contact with the police or other officials. And whether they are documented or not, I think they are well aware that when they take to the streets to express themselves on these issues, that they are under a kind of microscope, and of course the zoom lenses of the helicopter cameras of the Los Angeles television stations. And so they have a great investment in not developing confrontations with the authorities.
Sure. No, that's true, Peter. In fact, I think that the people who were the bravest this year that I saw were the people who came out to march in towns that have a very hostile attitude towards their presence. I was in Bridgeton, New Jersey, which is one of the cities back east that, like Hazleton in Pennsylvania, have passed local anti-immigrant ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically local laws that say, for instance, that you have to show that you're a legal resident in order to rent an apartment.
Right.
Or some of them basically also say, well, no more than, you know, five people can live in any one apartment because, you know, essentially they're trying to pass laws that prevent people from, poor people from sharing living space.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these marches, you know, I was at the one in Bridgeton. You saw lots and lots, again, of parents, of, you know, people, in, you know, with their kids in strollers who were coming out there in the face of a very sort of hostile political structure and demonstrating despite it. And I was actually very taken by, you know, what I saw in Bridgeton, because Bridgeton is one of these very small city, really, that has a lot of unemployment because the industry in these towns has closed and, you know, generally fled overseas. So there's a lot of unemployment. Traditionally, this has been a mixed white and African-American city in which Mexican workers and immigrants are kind of a new demographic factor in the last 10 or 15 years. And so, you know, we've been told over and over and over again the last couple of years that these communities are very hostile, especially African-American people are very hostile to this influx of migrant workers. And yet, despite the fact that Bridgeton, again, is kind of has a political power structure that's passing these anti-immigrant laws and a city with a lot of unemployment, I saw African-American people lining the streets in Bridgeton welcoming the marchers and, you know, smiling, cheering them on in some cases. You know, I remember this one woman who was, you know, had her fist in the air saying, yes, defend your rights, defend your rights. So I found that people on a kind of a grassroots level in those communities felt good about these marches, wanted people to have rights and supported, you know, what these immigrant families were asking for. Mm-hmm. And I think overwhelmingly this is what the character of these May Day celebrations or demonstrations or marches or whatever you want to call them,
what they
are, is that these are family events. These are events in which people are coming out and trying to be visible and asking for a change in the immigration laws, and ones in which, generally speaking, I think the surrounding working class communities are very are welcoming them or feel very warm towards them.
We're talking with David Bacon. He is a photojournalist, and his most recent book is Communities Without Borders, Images and Voices from the World of Migration. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call right now. He's with us for another segment. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number here at the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Take a look at traffic. Let's take a look at what's going on. I'm going to tell you that we have a problem in King City, northbound 101 between Jolland and Central Avenue. The right lane is closed for, looks like some sort of construction through May 11th, actually, so that's a problem. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at M-Line, the off-ramp closed 24 hours a day for road work. Got a big problem we need to tell you about in San Jose. It'd be an injury crash northbound 101 at Bailey. All lanes shut down, an overturned gravel hauler, and an overturned SUV as well. Now, it's all northbound lanes are being diverted to Cochran. Traffic is slow from Dunn. Southbound is slow from Metcalf. Everything will not be reopened to about 5:45 tonight. That's what the traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 22 past the hour. We're talking about the police overreaction in Los Angeles last week, just a week ago today. My guest is David Bacon.
I would walk 10 miles on the mile.
Yeah, L.A. cops proven that they are tough enough, and one of their big mistakes was wielding batons and aiming those rubber projectiles at working members of the media including those who could be clearly identified because they had one of those big TV cameras on their shoulders. And this has led to two demotions, as David Bacon mentioned a couple of minutes ago. Deputy Chief Kaler Carter, a 30-year veteran, will be demoted a rank, and he loses his cushy job running the Central Bureau. And likewise, the second-in-command at the scene last week, Commander Lewis Gray, will be moved out of the Central Bureau. And these were announced by William Bratton, the police chief, who is up for reappointment this summer. So he certainly didn't want a Rodney King riot situation on his watch and is moving pretty quickly to support Mayor Villaraigosa in very public disciplining of the police department. And, David, this is a little unusual because often we'll have a six-month investigation by a bunch of retired white guys who essentially whitewash it and say, never mind, and hope that by that point people have forgotten all about it.
Yeah, well, I think there were a couple of important differences this time, one of which you pointed to yourself, which is that this was all caught on video by professional journalists. You know, not only did the police assault TV station news cameramen, but they did it on camera.
Yeah.
So you know, there was no question about what actually happened. And also, you know, the media of course, reacts most strongly to attacks on its own. And so here was a situation in which, you know, newsmen themselves were being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of it, I think, was also the police department forgot who the mayor is.
Yeah.
And, you know, this might have been something that could have been accepted under previous administrations in Los Angeles. But when Antonio Villaraigosa was elected mayor, this was in some ways a recognition of the important role that Latinos and immigrants themselves are playing in the political life of Los Angeles. That's
mm-hmm.
a big part of his electoral base. So you knew that the mayor was going to stand up against attacks on that community, and the police, you know, that particular section of the police were very foolish to engage in it in such a public way. While Villaraigosa was mayor. So, in a way, it's a sign of the changing political times in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That a community, I mean, if you go all the way back to, you know, the 1940s, Los Angeles was a city where they had what was called the Sleepy Lagoon trial, in which a number of Mexican and Chicano youth were tried in a very kind of public trial in Los Angeles, accused of a lot of, you know, violent activity, in kind of what was a sort of a racist show trial of the era. And things have changed quite a bit in Los Angeles
mm-hmm.
in this politics since then.
David Bacon, let's zoom out from last week's incidents to the bigger picture here. Has anything changed in the year of hot air, the incredible hateful rhetoric that's been hurled by people from Tom Tancredo and Mike Pence in the Congress to the vigilantes along the border and others who try to stir up fright among whites over the issues that are very clear. About the only thing that appears has changed is that it's tougher for undocumented people to go home and see their families and return to the United States. But the population of undocumented has not declined, and really very little has happened. A couple of employers have been busted.
Yes, well, there have been some changes, you know, a couple of positive ones to take note of first. One is that Tom Tancredo, who you mentioned, the congressman from Colorado, who started what was called the Anti-Immigrant Caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives, which were a group of about 20 congressional representatives who all came together in order to support some of the most extreme anti-immigrant legislation in Congress in the last couple of years. Most of them went down to defeat in the November election. So, and they came from very conservative districts by and large. So the idea that somehow being anti-immigrant was the key to winning elections turned out not to be true in November. The other thing that was really important was that those demonstrations last year succeeded essentially in killing the worst of the anti-immigrant bills in Congress, what was called the Sensenbrenner bill, which is the law that was passed through the House of Representatives and then never made it through the Senate or
right.
onto Bush's desk, that would have made all 12 million people in the U.S. without immigration documents into federal felons. So,
yeah, and instead of trying to get the Senate to pass it, they held a bunch of phony public hearings along the border near San Diego.
That's right. That's right. They did. And, you know, it was basically a PR stunt, which didn't, you know, really get them much of anywhere. But I think it was also the pressure of the marches and the mm-hmm. demonstrations and the fact that people came out by the millions with these signs that said,
David Bacon,
we are workers, not criminals.
I'm sorry, the clock has run. It's great to talk with
sure.
you again. The book, Communities Without Borders, David Bacon on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
This time, I think the cavalry is coming. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. As residents of Greensburg, Kansas, got a look at what's left of the town, which is basically the high school track, Governor Kathleen Sebelius was reminding the news media that much of the Kansas National Guard is you-know-where.
We're missing flatbeds. We're missing Humvees, which are used to get people to safety and security and haul equipment around. And we're missing a number of our well-trained National Guard personnel.
However, the man who actually runs the Kansas National Guard, Major General Todd Bunting, was quoted as saying, "We're fine for now, as long as there isn't another bad storm." And in fact, according to the American Forces Information Service, the official news service of the Defense Department, the Kansas National Guard reports it has 88% of its forces available and more than 400,000 guardsmen available to it from other states. 400,000, almost three times what we have in Iraq now. So, let me venture a prediction here. I predict that Greensburg, Kansas is not only going to get help, it is soon going to be drowning in federal aid. The president visits Greensburg tomorrow, which should erase those images of him sharing chive, pizzelle, and caviar with the Queen. And I would guess that within a week, construction workers will be swarming over that town to begin the fastest reconstruction effort America has ever seen. Because say what you want about the Bush administration, the last message they want to send is the message that Iraq comes before Kansas. Oh, and when the revised Iraq funding bill comes back to the president's desk, I'm betting it will include more money for the National Guard. And I'm betting nobody will call it pork.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I don't know, I was just feeling a little lethargic. Thought we needed to pick up the beat here a little bit. Time for our weekly visit with Jason Leopold. He's the investigative journalist at truthout.org and the author of a memoir called News Junkie. Want to try to name that tune, Jason?
You know, I want to say Thorogood.
No.
Ah.
Think of a stray cat.
Oh. Brian Setzer?
It's the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Oh. Brian's vocals are a little raspy there.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in myself, by the way.
I was going to pull Town Without Pity, but...
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I didn't know if you...
Gene Pitney,
very good, Pitney, did the original, but there's an instrumental version by the Setzer Orchestra.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Good to be back here on the... nice global warming heat that we have.
Oh, yeah. California is heating up nicely. I spent the weekend in Palm Springs and flew through, or actually drove into L.A. and then flew back yesterday, and you were hitting the 90s. And it's cooking up here, too. We're waiting for the fog air conditioning to kick in.
Yeah, it's global warming happening right before our eyes.
Yeah. Well, another day or two we'll cool off up here, and you'll still be roasting. So I just saw this break on Truth Out in the last 45 minutes or so, but you have a powerful story here that in part is driven by a guy who's been on our show and impressed us quite a bit, Mikey Weinstein, who served in the Reagan administration.
Right.
He is an Air Force veteran who graduated from the Air Force Academy, and he published a book called With God on Our Side last year because one of his sons, who's currently at the Academy, he's got another, and the girl he married also graduated from there. Anyway, the son who's currently there has essentially been subjected to Christian hazing. And, of course, the Air Force Academy is in Colorado Springs. It was a hotbed of sexism and rape in the 1980s, and now it's gone full circle, and it's some sort of a Christian entity.
Yeah. And, I've read Mikey's book. I've been paying close attention to what he's been doing to sort of bring more of an awareness to the fact that, you know, the proselytizing, as he says it, in the military among soldiers, active and aggressive campaign by superior officers to, push a fundamental Christian agenda, try to convert soldiers. There's evidence that it is happening. But
Jason, what better way to prepare people for a religious war?
Right. Well, I have to say that I don't even know if irony is the right word, considering that what is happening, what we're trying to eradicate with, or supposedly, Islamic fundamentalist, and here we are, pushing some sort of fundamental religious agenda as well. I mean, this administration, it's just, I never wake up feeling surprised because it's always something to expect. So when he brought me this, when I spoke with him over the weekend, he told me about this individual named David Miller, who's an Orthodox Jew who served in the, he was a non-commissioned officer in the Navy in the 1980s. He's on disability, and he lives in Iowa City and went to the hospital there to receive treatment and has been, this is a person whose appearance anyone would immediately understand that this person, just judging from his appearance, is an Orthodox Jew. He dresses in the traditional attire, hat, he has a long beard, wears a yarmulke, and, excuse me, and he told me, and Mikey told me, that that the chaplain at the hospital, the VA hospital there, tried to convert him to Christianity, and despite his protests, he was unable to get kosher meals, and handed him scriptures, told him that he needs to accept Jesus Christ as the, you know, as the Messiah. So immediately I was, you know, I should say I was immediately skeptical, but I felt that it's important enough to follow up with. Follow up on the allegations, and that's exactly what I did. And certainly I came away with, wow, this was true. I spoke to the hospital, I spoke to some staffers there, and Senator Tom Harkin was also involved in this. And it certainly, by all appearances, the insensitivity of the staff, while this may not be quote unquote a policy for the VA, certainly the staffers who were at this hospital were not adhering to an overall policy, but they were, you know, more or less pushing this on this individual.
Well, and Jason, you point out in the story that the chaplain is a member of the Assemblies of God.
Right.
And this is a very extreme Pentecostal-type evangelical group whose most notable member is a guy named John Ashcroft, the former
exactly.
Attorney General.
Exactly.
And I think this is interesting because while this is anecdotal, we're only dealing with one case here, it suggests that the chaplain corps in the military has shifted under the Bush administration, because they used to be very broad in their preaching and non-denominational in almost every respect.
Right.
And, you know, to have a chaplain who identifies with the Assemblies of God and who goes to a Jewish man who is ill and suggests that he convert to Christianity?
Yeah. It was, you know, again, it's one of those issues or stories that when somebody, at least for me, when it was communicated to me by Mikey and by this man named David Miller, you know, I just found it very difficult to believe. And I said, well, you know, I've got to find this out for myself. And I, you know, spent time on it, made phone calls. And sure enough, you know, I came away with a gut instinct that this happened because of the waffling that the hospital was doing. They, you know, after my phone call, they actually, and I didn't put this in the story because it just got to be a little bit inside baseball, they immediately contacted Tom Harkin's office to let him know that they'll be changing their policy around, they'll be speaking with some of their staffers, making sure that this doesn't happen again. But prior to that, you know, this individual, David Miller, had a meeting last week with the patient advocate there, some of the officials at the hospital, and, you know, one of the things that they told him is, look, if this happens again, you need to be a bit more aggressive and just tell them to stop. And that just struck me as, what a strange thing. You're telling a sick individual who was at the time hooked up to a heart monitor that it's his job to say, please stop, but he's already made it clear that he doesn't want, you know, to receive any sort of solicitation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, in a way, it's like, you know, it's like they're hookers, you know, it's like, or drug dealers. It's like, here, come on, buy it, take it. You know you want it. He's saying he doesn't want it. So it's something that, you know, just in the past 4 days, digging into this, you know, like I said, I read Mikey's book, but digging into this and this specific case, it is, you know, it's an issue that under this administration clearly has become widespread, rampant, and is really plaguing the military. And Mikey told me and showed me some of the correspondence that he's received from more than 4,000, you know, active duty and retired soldiers that and who, by the way, happen to be 95% Christian, or at least that's how they identify themselves, who were, you know, who were the, I don't want to say victims, but who...
subjects, targets.
Targets, if, exactly,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, of this sort of campaign to convert.
Well, victim isn't too strong a word. Dave in Eureka has a comment. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Peter. I think every time that they think the camera's turned off, they try this, because I'm hearing it pops up about once a year. So That's just all I had to offer on it. I think it's an ongoing thing, and it probably comes right down from the very White House. Impose that on.
Yeah, I think that, again, you know, just spending 4 days really digging into some of the background on this, it's something that whenever it gets mainstream headlines, it sort of, they start to bury it a bit,
mm-hmm.
or to pull back. But then after some time, as time goes by, they go right back into it. Now, you know, you mentioned Mikey's son, Casey, and, you know, this was something that he experienced, and that's apparently still ongoing.
Yeah, and it's a very powerful book. I want to recommend it to people, With God on Our Side, by Mikey Weinstein. The only thing that doesn't ring true is a grown man who wants to be called Mikey.
Right, yeah. Who also listens to Marilyn Manson religiously, which I found sort of interesting. I like that.
And he drives a Viper.
Yeah.
Interesting
Definitely
details.
A quirky character. But, again, you know, in terms of his credentials, this is by no means an individual who is, you know, I want to say liberal Democrat. I think he made a good point in saying this has nothing to do with if you're Jewish, Christian, Buddhist. It has to do with the fact this is our federal government. We have this is a constitutional issue. We've seen the way that various parts of this administration, various branches of this administration, have abused the Constitution. I mean, we're seeing it currently right now with you know, with the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings me to that was a perfect segue. Jason Leopold's with us from truthout.org, and I just wanted to check, is Alberto Gonzalez still the Attorney General?
You know, he is. I know that you were expecting some ice cream, or at least hoping for some, but he is the Attorney General. He's going to be testifying this Thursday in front of John Conyers' Judiciary Committee,
mm-hmm.
and it's certainly, again, since we spoke a week ago, there has been so much the additional material, evidence, documents that have come out that, you know, have shown that the Attorney General it's just getting worse for him. And, you know, now there's the number three Republican in the Senate, I believe, has called for him to resign. But
who is number three? McConnell?
In Florida.
Martinez or... Mel Martinez?
No.
Because he's chair of the RNC. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no. Forgive me.
Okay.
I forgot the name. But mm-hmm. it was actually in a story last week in one of the Florida Ledger newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll find that and get back to you. But
mm-hmm.
He's really, really going to, you know, face another tough, you know, some tough questions come Thursday.
Some subpoenas have flown. But we don't expect that information will be available as soon as Gonzalez's next hearing.
No. The subpoenas that have gone out have requested documents by May 15th, and those documents relate to Karl Rove's emails. Actually, every email that Karl Rove sent since 2001, that's what the subpoena says. They're looking for everything. Waxman's also looking for Karl Rove's emails. And, you know, the reason for that is that they've obtained or have received additional evidence that, you know, Monica Goodling, who is the former White House, who worked in the Justice Department and resigned, mm-hmm. who is the liaison between the DOJ and the White House, you know, coordinated with individuals in Karl Rove's office to politicize this you know, the Justice Department, to use a litmus test to hire, you know, assistant attorney generals based on the fact of whether or not they were Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions that Gonzalez is going to be asked is, why did he, first of all, withhold from testimony the last time he testified late last month that he had given blanket authority to these two young individuals in his office, Monica Goodling and Kyle Sampson, his former chief of staff,
mm-hmm.
giving them authority to hire and fire people, hire and fire career prosecutors.
And Goodling has been granted immunity, so her testimony will be served up soon. Let's take a break, and we'll talk more about this when we return with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
If you have a hard time losing weight, especially stubborn fat around the hips, thighs, and stomach, you need Affinity's Lose and Snooze. You can actually lose weight even while you sleep. The advanced Lose and Snooze formula in combination with the one-day diet plan will accelerate your weight loss dramatically. Lose and Snooze with natural ingredients is scientifically designed to help you lose up to 20 pounds a month while still eating your favorite foods. Start reshaping your body. Fit into that new wardrobe and lose those stubborn pounds safe and fast, even while you sleep. Try Lose and Snooze risk-free today. Buy two bottles of Lose and Snooze and you'll get a free supply of the one-day diet. If you are not completely satisfied with your weight loss within 30 days, simply send back any unused portion for a full refund of your purchase price. No questions asked. So start taking off those stubborn pounds today, even while you sleep. Call right now, 1-800-985-3668. That's 1-800-985-3668.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Starting May 14th, The Ed Schultz Show moves to 9 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540. So join us for the best in talk radio, news, commentary, and your calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be on The Ed Schultz Show, 9 a.m. to noon, starting May 14th, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Let's take a look at traffic, and we got to mention the fact that we are going to let you give you a bit of an advisory here. Statewide, we have today, that's the 8th, statewide is anti-litter cleanup day. So what does that mean? It means that Caltrans crews during the daylight hours will be around the entire state picking up litter and debris. And folks, I guess if you see some litter or debris, feel free to possibly pick it up yourselves on the side of the roadway, that is, not in the roadway. Let's talk about some stuff. Santa Clara, Highway 152 eastbound at Bell Station. We have a vehicle with a flat tire. It's partially blocking the right lane. We're going to talk about south of Gilroy at Highway 25 at 101. We have a three-vehicle injury crash. It is on the shoulder. Paramedics, fire department on scene. Boulder Creek, Alba Road at Empire. We have a large tree across the lanes. A support brought to you by your Ford Lincoln Mercury Certified Pre-Owned Dealer.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Jason Leopold from truthout.org.
As I was walking a ribbon up highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made.
And a shout out to Matt Renner today. It's his birthday. Matt served as our producer for a year and a half on the PBC show and now is working with Jason Leopold over at truthout.org.
So Matt's great.
Yep, Matt, if you're listening.
Matt is turned into a fantastic reporter.
Yes, he is. I talked to him earlier today, so I hope he's enjoying his birthday.
He's getting old. You know, he told me he was 24, and I was like, oh. You're getting old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his knees will start to fail sometime very soon. Now, Jason, let's go back to the Gonzalez case and how it has widened out.
And let me just say that it was, I erred by saying it was the Senate. It's actually the House, and it was the number three Republican there, Adam Putnam from Florida.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for that detail.
Sure.
So this has so many different fingers to it. Because, of course, the original thing that got Gonzalez in hot water was his untruthfulness about why U.S. attorneys were fired.
We're seeing more and more come out now on individual U.S. attorneys who either held on to their jobs because they played ball
right.
and filed these phony voter fraud cases when they could, or with political timing, that got them extra points. And it does really appear that at least a handful of those fired were fired for reasons that we could say are inappropriate.
Right. And, you know, and I'm glad you brought that point, because a few months ago when this first when these allegations first surfaced that perhaps they were fired to, you know, sidestep these investigations or to so they were so others wouldn't be able to follow through on the ones that involve Republicans. It's certainly there's certainly the that's the common thread in all the dismissals thus far, is that they all happen to be investigating some, you know, some high profile corruption involving, you know, Republican officials and allegations of you know, bogus voter fraud issues as well. So it certainly does seem that you know, more information is coming out about that. You know, one individual who's testifying next week, I think his first name is Bradley Schultzman, if I'm not mistaken. He is testifying about that very about voter fraud and what his role in trying to go after this in Missouri, and whether you know, they were just bogus allegations.
Well, and this guy was in the Justice Department. It's S-C-H-O-T-Z,
yeah,
something, Schultzman,
yeah,
or something like that. And he was the one who overruled the career attorneys who, number one, didn't want to change the districts in Texas the way Tom DeLay had redrawn the map because of violations, I think, of the Voting Rights Act. And also, he jammed through, I think, a redistricting in Georgia that had also been opposed by the so-called career prosecutors.
Exactly.
Who were always pointed to as the ones who never bend to political winds.
Right. He would be someone that, you know, could be characterized as a loyal Bushy.
Yeah.
Taken, you know, quoting Kyle Sampson. And certainly was playing ball with this administration, and certainly was using his position to, or at least it appears that way. I'm sure that those are questions that he will be faced with next week, that he was using his position or politicizing the Justice Department. You know, that, again, when it all comes, you know, when we look at it, the Justice Department, you know, it's supposed to be, it's not supposed to be, you know, the White House's personal agency. Or law firm, if you will. It's supposed to be independent. Clearly, that's not what you know, what was taking place there.
Right. Now, Jason, let's turn, you publish too often. Let's turn to another story that you put out just a couple of days ago, yesterday, in fact. More reporting based on George Tenet's new book, At
right.
the Center of the Storm. First of all, is anybody buying that book, or do they all spend their money on Spider-Man 3?
You know, he's definitely Spider-Man 3 is outdoing At the Center of the Storm. They're doing much better than At the Center of the Storm. But the book is selling. It's not receiving as much print coverage or glowing reviews, if you will, but George Tenet has certainly been, you know, he is somebody that is appearing on many of the news programs. He's someone that I'm sure that many of journalists would want to have on.
I don't know if we mentioned this, but it struck me that on the weekend 2 weeks ago when the book was first released,
yeah,
the New York Times ran a sharply critical editorial in the Sunday paper opposite a full-page ad for the Tenet book.
Right. Yeah, I thought that, you know, I didn't see that, but somebody had mentioned that to me. And, you know, I guess in a way, that's the advertising side and editorial side clearly, you know, and I guess it's good that they're not coordinating with each other.
Now, what you pointed out in this piece yesterday is that what Tenet says about the Bush administration and their fixation on Iraq is corroborated by Richard Clark and Paul O'Neill.
Right. And, you know, that's the important thing that I wanted to bring out there, that despite what anyone says about George Tenet, I think that he's deserving of criticism for not speaking out sooner. The information that he revealed, the detailed information about, particularly as it relates to, you know, the pre-war intelligence, supports what Richard Clark and Paul O'Neill had said. And these are two individuals who serve in the administration that were widely criticized and rebuked for basically just being disgruntled employees and coming out and accusing the White House of manipulating intelligence during a time when it really wasn't safe to do so. But now with, you know, with Tenet's book, with the details that he has revealed, it basically what you have is that you have now, you know, one big voice, if you will, saying that this wasn't the case. You know, let me just add to it that a short while ago, Senator Rockefeller had indicated that his office, his committee, had completed the second phase of this long-awaited report on pre-war intelligence.
5 seconds, please.
And it's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks, and that will corroborate.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Federal prosecutors call them a terrorist cell. Six young Muslims arrested in New Jersey today who allegedly planned and plotted an assault on soldiers at Fort Dix. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports they were under investigation for more than a year.
The New Jersey cell had already acquired some weapons, and officials say had trained at a Pocono Mountain shooting range for a commando-type assault. A relative of four of those charged dismissed the allegations.
The Pocono sits a vacation. They go there for vacation, that's it. Seriously. They go there, they shoot a little in the shooting range, they want to have fun. I mean, they're guys.
Officials say they were alerted to the suspects by a video store clerk, who was asked to make a dub of a videotape the men took themselves, which the government says shows the suspects shooting assault weapons in a malicious style while calling for jihad and shouting in Arabic, Allah Akbar, or God is great.
Authorities say they had the suspects under surveillance and were able to infiltrate the group with informants. They were allegedly acquiring weapons with the aim, quote, to kill as many American soldiers as possible. A helicopter surveys the flooding in Parkville, Missouri, a town along the Missouri River that was devastated in 1993. This time, CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers says it looks like they'll be okay.
In some cases, it's like the rumors that this was going to be a really bad flood rose faster than the river did, and now even NOAA has sort of projected downwards what it thought was going to happen. I think that there's just a fear factor that came after the flood of 93, where any flood is necessarily a bad flood.
Forecasters are more concerned about Sibley, Missouri. A computer model projects the river will crest there tomorrow at 11 feet above flood stage. It's hot and dry in Southern California, and a brush fire has broken out in L.A.'s Griffith Park.
We've evacuated the zoo, the golf course, the Gene Autry, the boys' camp, the observatory, the Magnet School.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says they don't know if it was arson, but someone has been detained for questioning. The Navy revealed today that one of its helicopters on a training flight over the northern Nevada desert struck a power line and crashed yesterday. All five crew members were killed. Purdue Pharma LP, maker of the powerful painkiller OxyContin, will pay $19.5 million to settle charges it encouraged doctors to overprescribe the drug.
OxyContin benefits are huge for people who suffer from severe chronic pain, but also there are horrendous risks if it is abused and diverted, as commonly results from the off-label marketing.
Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal says the Food and Drug Administration approved dosing every 12 hours, but the company urged doctors to have patients take OxyContin OxyContin every 8 hours. On Wall Street, the Dow slipped back today, down 3 points at the close to finish at 13,309. The NASDAQ was up just a fraction. This is CBS News.
Hello, America. It's time to play Take On Orbit, the travel game where you could save $75 when you customize your next trip to Vegas. Today's winner is you. That's right, you. Go to Orbitz.com right now and customize your Vegas jackpot vacation. Book the exact hotel and flight you want together and save $75. So book your trip on Orbitz.com and head to Vegas already a winner.
Save $75 on 4-plus nights on qualifying hotel plus flight packages. Valid for travel 430 through 83107. Book by 6307. Subject to availability. See Orbitz.com for terms and conditions.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
The same industrial chemical that tainted some pet food has turned up in pig and chicken feed and now in the food used in fish farming. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has that.
The top food safety official at the FDA says some fish feed from Canada used on farms in the U.S. contained the chemical melamine, usually for plastics and pesticides, but added to wheat gluten by two factories in China.
We do not believe that there is any significant human health risk associated with consuming these fish.
Dr. David Acheson says FDA investigators include a team in China checking to see if ingredients from there now are not contaminated. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
China confirmed today that two companies illegally added melamine to wheat gluten and rice protein for pet food. More trouble for actor Tom Sizemore, an admitted drug abuser who's been on probation for drug possession charges. Sizemore was arrested this morning at a hotel in Bakersfield, California. Police say they found methamphetamine. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
If you can't take your business on the road, customers might take their business elsewhere. Office Depot has all the latest technology you need when you're on the go, like a huge selection of notebook computers, wireless printers, networking solutions, and mobile accessories. Don't tie your business down. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by four trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Hold on tight now.
I remember when I lost my mind.
I'm kind of a crazy driver, you know.
There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
Well, they say I'm crazy for doing this, but I like to set aside time each day to just open up the phone lines and see what happens. Of course, I'm hoping you'll call and talk to me. That's what usually happens. You know the rules. You can call and talk about any subject from any point of view, from anywhere within the sound of my creaky voice. All our lines are open right now for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. There's lots to talk about. We covered three different subjects with Jason Leopold, George Tenet, Alberto Gonzalez, and the imposition of Christian values on non-Christians in the military and the Veterans Administration. We talked with David Bacon about the police overreaction in Los Angeles at the Immigrants March rally last week. A powerful report from Dar Jamil, fresh back from Lebanon and Syria, about the situation there and the status of life support for the Lebanese government of Mr. Senora. And we kicked off the show with a great piece of reporting from Ari Berman. You can read it at thenation.com. It's all about Mark Penn among the corporate centrists advising Senator Hillary Clinton on her presidential run. Those topics are all up for grabs, but I want to add one more because I was absolutely floored when I picked up the San Francisco Chronicle Monday edition and read an op-ed piece by a member of Congress, a Blue Dog Democrat named Ellen Tauscher. She serves in a district that runs from Walnut Creek up through Davis. It's an unusual district. And she is one of the most conservative Democrats, one of the most pro-military Democrats in the California delegation. And at times I can accept Ellen Tauscher and understand where she comes from and the role that she plays. But this one didn't get me there. The headline reads, "An Opportunity to Get Missile Defense Right." And in this article, she's talking about the phony Star Wars missile defense shield that the United States has spent well over $100 billion on, and it doesn't work. It's a joke. It's a very bad joke. And we have now angered Russian leader Vladimir Putin, despite the fact that Bush looked into his eyes and saw his soul just a few short years ago. Putin is all upset because we have agreed to give missile shields, missile defense equipment, to the Czech Republic and to Poland. And we say it is to defend them from incoming missiles from Iran. Now, as far-fetched as that may seem, it also leaves out most of Europe. What about our good friends, the Italians? They were part of the coalition of the billing when Silvio Berlusconi ran that nation. What about Spain? I don't know that Iran has any axe to grind to launch missiles against Spain. But heck, they were part of our coalition in Iraq. Don't we pay back our friends? Now, Poland did send a few troops. I think 24 was the most. And according to one of our sources, Larissa Alexandrovna at rawstory.com, the Poles cooperated by allowing the U.S. to use an airbase for these renditions where they pick people up without the benefit of the law, fly them around the world, and then deposit them in a place where they'll be tortured. And we don't have a full corroboration, but Larissa reported about 6 weeks ago that there is an airbase in northern Poland and a nearby facility where it's believed we were holding some high-value Al-Qaeda detainees. That said, let me get back to this op-ed piece by Ellen Tauscher. She makes the case very effectively against SDI, missile defense. And then she says, well, let's throw another $9 or $10 billion at it and see if we can't fix this thing. Let's see. The new defense bill buys all the missile interceptors the president has requested for Europe, but deploys them in the United States rather than in Europe. Even the head of the Missile Defense Agency, General Henry Obering, indicated in congressional testimony that they could be equally useful in the United States. Now, keep in mind that this is all fiction. The Star Wars system does not work even when they rig the tests. And so to say that they could be equally effective in protecting the United States or Europe, that is to say, zero, baby, bupkis. And so Ellen Tauscher is saying that we should give $8 billion to the Defense Department and require them to change some of their testing protocols and that sort of thing. And that somehow that's going to fix this problem and make the system functional. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. Here's her closing paragraph. Our focus needs to be on deploying near-term capabilities that can respond to real threats to our homeland. I choke on that term. Our deployed forces and our allies. I believe we have the duty to develop systems that will protect the United States from the growing missile threat. Yeah, like where? The Taipodong 2 from North Korea? What missile threat do we need to protect the United States from? There is not presently one, unless you imagine that Russia is going to go bonkers and attack us. But I digress. For missile defense to actually work, we need to turn the corner on a program that has lacked oversight, inject new discipline into procurement and testing of the programs, and secure the support of the military for a set of systems that truly will provide the American people with an effective last line of defense. Now, Ellen Tauscher, who are you kidding? How do you believe that another $8 or $9 billion on top of the $110 billion, exactly, I don't know the number, but it's in that range, that we've already blown on this useless, pointless effort? Who are you kidding? And let's imagine for a moment that our engineers, technicians, military contractors score a big breakthrough and figure out how to shoot down incoming missiles before they hit us and avoid having the debris, the fallout, and the weaponry, you know, the warheads of that missile. We not only have to knock it out of the sky, we have to do it in a manner that the debris doesn't fall on population centers here or elsewhere and kill people. But let's assume that they got it working. And it was entirely effective. Our enemies would simply find other ways to penetrate our borders and to do the damage that they seek to do. A missile defense system is bogus, not only because it doesn't work, but because it could not eliminate all threats. And when you plug one hole in the dike, you force the water to come out somewhere else. It's as simple as that. I want to hear your calls this hour. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Any subject, any viewpoint, including phony missile defense arguments from Democratic Congress members at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is my toll free number. That's 888-573-8372. We'll go to the phones after the break here because I want to talk to John, and if I put him on the air, I'll have to interrupt him in just a minute. One more item here from my stack. Barack Obama went to Detroit to deliver a stern message to the automakers, saying they've done little to lessen the nation's dependence on foreign oil and that they need to improve the fuel efficiency of their vehicles. And according to this account in the New York Times, sounding at times like a teacher scolding a lazy but promising student, Obama at the same time proposed incentives to help General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler out of a lingering slump. You know the incentive I want to offer them? I want to offer it to every employer in America. Universal, single-payer health care coverage and an honest reform of our pension system that makes it fully portable and requires companies to honor their pension obligations first before shareholders, before customers, before anything else. That's what I think would help fix the economic problems in Detroit that make it more expensive for American carmakers to produce their vehicles and have helped propel Toyota into the top spot as the world's leading auto manufacturer. And yes, Toyota, that's General Motors in your rearview mirror. All right, we take a quick break and return for your phone calls, and that means you need to call. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a full affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs too. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRX 8540.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Everybody, let's take a look at traffic. Got a big problem out of San Jose that we need to tell you about. A signal alert has been issued there, which indicates always a very major situation. It's northbound 101 at Bailey Avenue. All lanes are completely shut down. Again, northbound 101 at Bailey. It's all due to an overturned gravel hauler and SUV. Northbound lanes are being diverted to Cochrane. Traffic is slow from Dunn. Southbound is slow from about Highway 85. And we want to mention that we have a problem in Santa Clara County, Highway 152, eastbound at Bell Station. We have a stall vehicle partially blocking the right lane. And south of Gilroy, Highway 25 at 101, three-vehicle crash. It is on the shoulder there. There's support brought to you by Ford. Get 3.9 APR on a certified pre-owned Ford or Lincoln. Offer ends 6/30/07.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're in the free speed zone. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, and Brian Urban is taking your calls today, so give us a buzz and let us know what's on your mind. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for holding on. You're up.
Peter, I totally agree with your well-stated opposition to the Star Wars thing. I think it should be called a Maginot Line in the Sky.
Amen.
But I heard, as bad as hearing stuff like that is, it's minor stuff compared to what I heard today on Ed Schultz's program. He had Byron Dorgan on because he has him on frequently. And he commented on two subjects. The first, I totally agreed with what he had to say, which was commenting about the high price of gasoline and how unfair it is and how much, I mean, giant freight trains of money going more on top of what's already gone to the oil companies. And I don't want to comment about what he said there because I agree with it, and that didn't bother me at all. But what he said about the war astounded me. He said he was not only voting to fund the war, but for more. He said the Democrats, including himself, are going to vote for more money than Bush has asked for, because he said as long as they're going to be there, we have to protect the troops and do a better job of it. So he was arguing along the lines that they needed improved protection, and he was going to make sure that they got it. And I'm not saying that isn't something to consider. It's just that here's someone again, like Hillary, like Helen Tauscher, like so many, who are giving, whether they intend to or not, they're giving the green light to Bush.
Yep.
Will this ever stop?
Well, and John, to imagine that more Kevlar vests, more up-armored Humvees will protect our troops in the middle of a civil war is ridiculous. And, you know, let me just counter by saying that we learned a couple of hours ago that Russ Feingold has finally introduced a bill in the Senate that will cut off funding for the war by a date certain. I don't know what. Oh, here it is. March 31st, 2008, at which point funding for the war would be cut off. There are only three exclusions. That is conducting operations against Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations, security for U.S. infrastructure, our enduring bases, and to train and equip Iraqi security services.
That's after Bush leaves office, right?
Well, March 31st, 2008. So,
yeah,
no.
It's after he's...
No.
He serves
through calendar 2008.
Right. Excuse me.
So what's even more notable is that he has, seven or eight co-sponsors already. Boxer, Dodd, Harkin, Kennedy, Kerry, Leahy, Sanders, and White House of Rhode Island. And Harry Reid has said he is studying it very closely. He also said that about the proposal to fund the war in 60-day increments, which I find more palatable, even though I don't want to continue to fund the war at all. 60 days puts the president on a very short leash and is a very strong message that this is not going to continue. And I think it also gives the opportunity to peel off more Republicans and bring all of the Democrats, including the Nelson brothers, who aren't really brothers, on board with the end the war strategy.
By the way, I thought of something that helps to explain to me why we have such a docile, angry society, because I heard today on the same Schultz program that if anything gets Americans upset, it's high gasoline prices. And I said to myself, oh, yeah, I've seen them time and again, including myself, very docilely pay those high prices. That, you know, it's probably going to have to go beyond $4 before there's anything like the kind of resistance that we need. But here's my thinking on why. Who really provided a pool of opposition beyond probably any other to the Vietnam War? It was the counterculture of the hippies. And they're now as gone as the dinosaur. And somebody ought to write a book about why they just plain vanished about 1980 And I was so conservative back then, I was generally, usually, put ill at ease by them, I agreed with their stand on the war, but not much else. And if I could do anything right now, I'd bring them back, the whole bunch of them.
Well, fortunately, some have been preserved in Boulder Creek and in Garberville. So you ought to just do a little exploration, John, and you can find some actual hippies, original versions, and maybe trot them out to help with your cause. I would honestly say that it was the draft and the self-interest of suburban college white kids that drove the anti-war movement as much as the hippies and the yippies and other counterculturists. Thanks for your call today,
okay.
John. Always a pleasure to talk with you. More calls coming up right after a break here. The Free Speech Zone is open and ready for your call. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Tune in to Todd the Taxi Driver, Monday through Friday, 3:30 p.m. I'm Todd Hurlbert, host of The Week in Politics. Each Monday night at 10 p.m., we get together and talk about the political issues that are important to all of us. We'll cover the local issues, we'll talk about the Washington, D.C. issues. I'll share my opinion, then you call me and tell me yours. That's Monday night, 10 p.m., The Week in Politics.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the rights to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue in the free speech zone. Coos Bay, Oregon, you've been quiet today. If you're listening to KBBR, give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Eureka's been a little quiet, too. If you're listening on KGOE 1480, I've got a line open for you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. Yeah, you're driving home and you got that fancy cell phone. Don't be afraid to use it. And just do me one favor. Don't everybody call in the last 5 minutes of the show, because that leads to caller frustration. And that's something we don't like to see.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance, another poor sucker.
Well, now, here's a guy who's running for president who's been written off by the corporate media and the political inside the Beltway pundits, Mike Gravel, a guy who I admire, who's been on our program four or five times in the last year, and a guy who probably doesn't have a prayer of winning the nomination. But I think he is performing a great service to the nation by running for president, and even when he occasionally breaks protocol and appears to be a little bit of a loose cannon, he's speaking his mind. When he stood up there with the other candidates for president on the Democratic ticket at the MSNBC Love Fest a couple of weeks ago, and he said that some of these other people on the stage scare me, I know some people reacted to that like he's some kind of a Looney Tunes. But I think he has a point. There are some scary people, even on the Democratic side, running for president this year. And I think it would be healthy for many Americans to get a little scared about what could happen if one or another of the alleged front runners is elected president. Well, Mike Gravel is connecting. Traffic at his website has increased by 1,600%. Within 72 hours of the South Carolina appearance, his website crashed a couple of times because there was so much interest in saying, who the hell is Mike Gravel? And I didn't know that rhymed when I started that sentence. According to CBS News on the Internet, Gravel is a sensation. A refreshing face amid a sea of cookie-cutter candidates seen as typical politicians. And once the new fans of Mike Gravel learned that the senator had not yet been invited to a debate sponsored by CNN on June 3rd, supporters flooded CNN with phone calls and emails. And within 72 hours, Mike Gravel received his invitation to be on the stage in New Hampshire because CNN said they had met the criteria to attend. So this web activity is very important. Mike Gravel's website is Gravel2008.us, and it's spelled just like gravel, G-R-A-V-E-L. So go ahead and drop by there, and you might make an impact. Also, speaking of the web and presidential campaigns, CBS News has announced that their website has been getting so many nasty emails about Senator Barack Obama that they have taken the unusual step of blocking all reader comments on anything about Barack Obama. Mike Sims, director of news and operations for CBSNews.com, said CBS could not selectively delete the ugly remarks because of their volume and persistence. The site plans to continue to allow comments about other candidates. They said they would do more to monitor the comments and try to reopen the Obama comment section as soon as possible. But for now, it's OOB, out of bounds or out of business. You can choose. Let's go to Marianne in Arcata. Thanks for your call today, Marianne. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, hello, Peter B., and it's good to be on again. And, you know, I listened to that Marine that who was on your program yesterday.
Yes, Mike Ergo.
Mike Ergo, yeah. And I don't know if you've spoken about it already today. I haven't been able to listen for a couple of hours. But every time I think of these people who fight over there, you know, I just tear up. The guardsmen, National Guardsmen and volunteer soldiers who fight there believing that they fight over there for our freedoms back home. And that includes Michael, the freedom for Michael Savage to spew all his anger and rudeness
mm-hmm.
on the air. And so when Don Imus was fired a couple of weeks ago, I dug out the letters that I wrote to Michael Savage. It was just maybe 10 days after the invasion had mm-hmm. happened. And, oh, he just went nuts at that time about the protesters. He called them pigs, vermin, and fecal smearers.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, there was a lady caller on then. This was March 29, or rather 28, because I wrote this letter the next day. I couldn't get back on his, I couldn't get on his program.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, she was against the invasion, and so he asked her, well, were your parents communist? And she said, no, sir. As a matter of fact, my father served combat duty in Vietnam. And then Savage's comment was, yes, and I guess he did some fragging over there, too.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was so terribly, I was outraged. So I wrote a letter then in March 29, and I followed it up three times, of course. I guess you know this. They get so many letters. But anyway, I sent copies of everything to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he was then later on in August, he was on KNEW in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But all this time, his network was Talk Radio Network in Central Point, Oregon.
That's right.
So I called them also a week or so ago. And, oh, he's still with them. And they keep saying, well, you know, if you don't like what you hear, just turn him off. But another thing is...
Well, wait. Let's talk about that a little more.
Okay.
First of all, that is their knee-jerk out, their way of, rationalizing what they put on the air. And it's true that you don't have to listen to him. Nobody forces you to listen to me or anybody else. But we have to look at the responsibility, not of the people who produce his show and distribute it, but the individual radio stations that choose to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether they like it or not, radio station owners, and I happen to fit the description, have an obligation to serve their community.
Yeah.
And while the law has been changed and that's no longer explicitly spelled out the way it was prior to Reagan's first round of deregulation,
right.
I believe that ultimately... the community decides. And we saw a very interesting pressure play with Don Imus.
Yeah.
Because when people put pressure on the advertisers, they caved. And they said, we will no longer support Don Imus.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that it's time for a concerted effort to get to the advertisers of Michael Savage. And I want to be very careful as I say this, and I'd like people to listen carefully to what I'm saying. I do not believe in censorship. I do not believe that regulators should take Michael Savage off the air. I do reluctantly embrace his First Amendment right to spew mm-hmm. the crap that he does,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that we have a choice, that A, we don't have to listen to it, and B, we don't have to patronize the products of advertisers on his program.
Right.
And that is the free market choice that we have mm-hmm. under this, you know, system of broadcasting in the United States.
Sure.
And I would like to see people go to MediaMatters.org.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. you don't have to sully yourself by spending time listening to Michael Savage, but spend an hour there and read through the transcripts of the comments that he has made.
Yeah.
And most of us live in a bubble where we don't listen to that stuff. Or if it comes on, you know, we listen to 3 or 4 minutes and then we move on or turn the radio off.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to become aware of exactly what he does and how hateful his speech is. And I believe that, and I'm not trying to defend Don Imus or rerun that whole episode, but, you know, word for word, day by day, Michael Savage does more damage to the psyche and the spirit of America than Don Imus ever has. And, you know, people, for better or worse, knew that Imus was a shock jock.
Yeah.
Savage doesn't present himself that way. He acts like he's a scholar. He's Dr. Savage, for God's sake.
Well, yeah.
And people call up and kiss his ass and say, Dr. Savage, his degree is in nutrition or something like that. It has nothing to do with politics.
That's what he says, yeah.
And so here's a guy who comes across with all this hate speech and is dressed up as a professor. And people need to undress that. And they need to go to his advertisers and say, no more. That's where the true pressure is. And if we could organize people around that, we could help change the media.
Well, sure. But, you know, I have called them. I have called those local shops here that advertise on them. And, you know, I found out two things. One is that those guys work during the day, and so they don't really know what he says. And the other thing is that when they send in their money, like, for instance, up here, to see the CBS station or Savage's station, I forget which one it is, Eureka Radio or something, they don't know on which programs their ads go.
They can.
You would know that because advertising, you're in the business.
Advertising is sold in a couple of different ways.
Yeah.
And you're correct that most advertisers just give the station money and say, run the commercials where you want to.
Yeah.
But you can instruct the station that I want to buy around Michael Savage. I don't want my commercials to appear in his program.
Yeah.
And you can also, in a very simple way, without even being that explicit, say, I want my commercials to run between 6 a.m. and 3 p.m. and after 7 p.m.
Oh, right. Yes.
And so
true.
There's a bit of a cop-out on the part of the advertisers. And the other thing, Marianne, that happens is that when you call, there's some advertisers who will take that as a vote of confidence.
Yeah, I listened.
Say, well, she listened, and she actually paid attention, and she knows we advertise on that program. I think we got our money's worth.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah, anyway, so now I'm starting up with Michael Savage again, and I'll see how far I'll get.
Okay.
Well, because, and so I guess, oh, maybe I can ask you, you'll probably get hundreds of letters and emails, and you can't answer. But are there some that you just never answer, you tell your people? You know,
well, I get between 30 and 50 emails a day, and I try to answer, at least acknowledge that I've received it, particularly
really?
If I know it's a, you know, a person who's contacted me for the first time.
Yeah.
But honestly, it just depends on how much time I have, and
sure.
I do read everything that I receive.
Okay.
But I don't always have the chance to respond.
Well, I don't think that he ever saw my letters. I said that to him in one of my follow-up letters, that I doubt that his staff, you know, even dared show him this.
Well, I've never met this guy, but by all accounts of people around him, he's a relatively unstable fellow, and I think that they keep him in a bubble as much as they possibly can.
Thanks
for
your... you read the story about
I've got to run to a break. I'm sorry. I got to cut it here. Thank you, Marianne.
Okay, bye.
More of your calls coming up in just a moment in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I,
So, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
All right, everybody, last traffic report of the evening. Let's take a look at the latest. We want to mention that we got a problem in, we're going to talk about our problem in San Jose injury crash, northbound 101 at Bailey. Gravel hauler and another vehicle is apparently been cleared. They are still diverting northbound lanes off to Cochran Road in Morgan Hill and Monterey Highway as well. The backup is from Tenet. And everything should be cleared up for about 6 o'clock tonight, according to CHP. Also want to mention that in Boulder Creek, Alba Road at Empire, we have a large tree across lanes. Apparently, they need to cut this thing up. A Pajaro San Juan at Porter Drive, we have an accident there. A vehicle hit a light pole. Westbound lanes are shut down while crews clean up an oil spill.
Resistance. 10 minutes from the top of the hour, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone where we take calls on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my squeaky voice. Got a little bit of a sinus thing and it's traveling down into my vocal cords. I'm going to do some therapy with single malt scotch whiskey tonight. And if it all works out, I'll be with you tomorrow. If not, we'll figure something out, okay? 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number, and we've got Drew on the line from Monterey. Drew, thanks for calling the program.
You know, Peter, I just don't understand how you can say that a guy like Michael Savage, it's a pretty bold statement to say that he damages the psyche of America,
mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know what specifically he did. Was it joining, crossing party lines and joining with Chuck Schumer to block the Dubai ports deal? I mean, it's amazing that you'll criticize somebody like Michael Savage, but I bet you have no complaints about a monster like George Soros, who sends money to a defense fund for somebody who committed treason, or George Soros, the man who goes around and tries to bankrupt countries and has no apologies for it whatsoever. I mean, you know, I just hear H.R. 3302. You know, are you just bought and sold by George Soros like the rest of the liberal media?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, in fact, Soros transfers money to my Swiss account on a weekly basis.
Well, how can you defend a man like him? I bet you have nothing negative to say about him.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about, and you're using some very slick Republican talking points to try to shift...
No, that's not a talking point. George Soros is not a Republican talking point.
True, you're trying to shift the focus from Michael Savage to George Soros, and there is no comparison.
Right. You're right. George Soros is far more damaging to our country.
I don't agree, Drew.
What do you think he's going to do good for our country? I mean, he supported legalizing marijuana, which I agree with. I'm all for that. But you know what? The guy has more money than he knows what to do with.
Well, he never funded the Swift boats, Drew. He doesn't use his money for those kinds of underhanded, scurrilous attacks. But let's go back to Michael Savage. Because
you know what else Michael Savage did? He also is trying to fund money for the troops in Haditha, the Marines of Haditha, who are being court-martialed on total false accusations. I'd say that's a pretty patriotic thing.
Drew, what's the source of your allegation that those are phony accusations against the soldiers?
You just assume them to be true?
No, Drew, I'm waiting for the process to run its course. I have not made a judgment about that. Yeah. But you have already decided that they are being railroaded, and you think Michael Savage is a great American for supporting the defense of people who are accused of war crimes?
No, I think that he realizes that these people are going to go broke and they don't have the money to defend themselves, just like the Duke Lacrosse people, who he also defended. If those Duke Lacrosse kids didn't come from wealthy families, they would be in prison right now.
Hey, Drew.
Because they had money to defend themselves.
Drew, just like a broken watch, Michael Savage can be occasionally right, maybe even twice a day.
That's
right.
What you call a liberal talking point. They love to talk about right-wing talking points, but you know what? All I got to say is George Soros is a poison. He is a leech on this nation, and he is going to do damage to our country.
Drew.
Far more damage than Michael Savage could ever do.
Drew, you're driving home my point. You cannot talk honestly about the damage that Savage does, and so you offer up a couple of press releases about some things he has done which are not as dark or evil or hateful. And then you attack Soros. Now, leave Soros out of this, okay?
Okay,
let me answer, okay?
Okay.
April 23rd, on his program, after the Supreme Court decision of April 18th, he attacked Senator Hillary Clinton because she took the side of the minority in the court decision. And in response, Savage said, "Oh, that's rubbish. That's Hitler dialogue. Goebbels would be proud of you, Hillary Clinton. I know Mao Zedong would have been proud of you." He referred to her as a liar and a sickening person. And he does this on a regular basis. He cannot find, you know, the language to simply make his point and disagree with her on the issues themselves. He has to invoke Goebbels and Mao, and really slime her, because he can't win the intellectual argument, so instead he uses hate speech to deride his opponents. And this is simply one example of what Michael Savage does on a daily basis, and that's why I made the comment that I did, and I stand by it.
Okay. Well, I thought this was a free speech zone. If he wants to sell somebody that, you know, she's slimy and she's a liar, I think he has every right to do so, and bottom line is he may be correct.
Thanks for your call, Drew. Jake in Arcata, you get the last call today. How you doing?
Hey, Peter B. I think it's pretty funny that Drew's worried about George Soros being a poison to American society. How about George Bush, Drew? You worried about George Bush at all?
It's really interesting. I told everybody yesterday about the gentleman I met over the weekend named Granville, who is a heavy viewer of Bill O'Reilly, and he used the exact same routine. When I mentioned the fact that Bill O'Reilly does more name-calling than virtually anybody in the media in America today, my friend Granville couldn't relate to that as an issue to argue about on its own merits, and instead repeated the false information, the false defense that O'Reilly had offered in his own behalf, that somehow George Soros was responsible for the study. And the study is irrelevant, and who paid for it is irrelevant. It's a fact that Bill O'Reilly does a lot of name-calling. And you can even discuss whether name-calling is a bad thing or not. But it's a fact. And he couldn't deal with the facts, and therefore he finds a bogeyman, and there's George Soros with billions of dollars. I don't defend every arbitrage deal or currency play that George Soros has done over the years, but his work in spending his fortune on the Open Society Institute, trying to bring democracy and community to the former Soviet Union, is a lasting legacy that pales in comparison to what our friend Drew is trying to point out of the positive aspects of Michael Savage.
there are no positive aspects to Michael Savage. Michael Savage is a lunatic, and he's a hate monger on top of that. And if Drew's going to be worried about people putting up their billions of dollars to influence American society, how about Rupert Murdoch in the Fox Network?
Yeah.
How about that? How about Roger Ailes, who was George Bush Sr.'s campaign manager and ad man? After George Bush Sr. got kicked out of the White House, only getting 38% of the vote when he tried to run for re-election, they started this little thing called Fox News. Roger Ailes was made the president. Rupert Murdoch put up the money. And they were put on lunatics like Bill O'Reilly, Sean Clannity, you know, these right-wing idiots. They were able to just to permeate the airwaves in America and put George Bush Jr. in office.
Do you hear what you just did?
I told the truth. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you descended into name-calling. You changed Sean Hannity's name. And you're such an amateur. You know, you got to get up to 6.8 name calls per minute. So I want you to work on that and get back to me tomorrow with some rapid-fire attacks on Clannity and Holmes and all the rest of them, okay?
You got it, Peter.
Thank you, Jake.
Happy trails.
All right, I'm going to rest my voice. Be back at you tomorrow if everybody's willing. Same time, same stations. This is Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening.
Happy trails to you.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Today we dodged a bullet.
FBI agent J.P. Weiss on the breakup of an alleged plot to attack Fort Dix, New Jersey.
We had a group that was forming a platoon to take on an army. They identified their target. They did their reconnaissance. They had maps. And they were in the process of buying weapons.
6 Muslim men were arrested as they allegedly tried to buy AK-47 assault rifles, M-16s, and other weapons from an FBI informant. U.S. Attorney Christopher Christie says the suspects apparently have no links to al-Qaeda, but they'd immersed themselves in jihadist propaganda.
They had possession of the video of the last will and testament of 2 of the 19 hijackers from September 11th. They had video of Osama bin Laden calling Muslims to jihad.
Christie says their aim was to kill as many American soldiers as possible. The group first came to the attention of authorities through a store owner who told police about a videotape of the suspects waving weapons and shouting slogans that they wanted made into a DVD. Big Lake, Missouri, is taking its name literally. The community is underwater after 5 levees burst along the Missouri River. There's also high water in Parkville. There's a mandatory evacuation there, but CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports it's nothing like the flood of 93.
People here in towns like Parkville, Missouri, say that they're concerned and they will lose some baseball parks that they were really proud of because of flooding. They're under several feet of water as I look at them now. But none of the businesses are at risk, and there are no homes in the area. The sewer plant in Parkville had to be shut down. It's because it's on high ground, and it's kind of in an island now, and it was getting hard for workers to get in and out safely.
Those are waves pounding the beach in Jupiter, Florida. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports on the big storm that's just offshore.
The National Hurricane Center calls it a non-tropical disturbance, but it's stirring up the Atlantic from the Carolinas to central Florida.
It's crazy. The waves are huge.
Yeah. We were expected it to be perfect, and it's not. Can't go on the beach and swim.
In Volusia County along Daytona Beach, the beach patrol's Scott Peterson says he's concerned about beach erosion.
This thing spins for a couple of days. It can do more damage than a hurricane.